Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Something wrong with her. One night, the summer after my senior year, I was having an overnighter with my friend Peter. He lived right across the street from high school in a small white house. We were pretty nerdy and spent most of the night playing video games in his basement and talking about different things. It was pretty warm outside, so we decided we'd go out on a walk. His parents were asleep, so we snuck out through the backyard and headed to the high school parking lot. We were walking along the sidewalk that edged the school's lawn. We stayed close to the street lights that were around the school grounds, and the moon was full, which did cast a lot of shadows as we walked along. But after 20 minutes of walking, we were just talking about movies, and then we suddenly saw someone walking towards us. It looked like a girl, and when she saw us, she stopped, stepped off the sidewalk and into the gutter, but then she kept walking. It looked like she was going to pass us, but then she stopped a couple of feet away. She seemed to be about our age, but in the darkness and in the shadows, it was hard to see her face. And she was deliberately looking to the side with her head twisted at a really awkward angle, away from the light. All I could really see was her blonde hair, and she had this gray jacket. But Peter, he was girl crazy, and he was just looking at her, hoping she was going to say something to us. Then she said, "What town is this?" And I remembered that was strange how hoarse and soft her voice was at the same time. Peter told her, and she just kept on walking past us. Then as she walked by, we checked over our shoulders and watched her just go past the area of the football stadium towards an area that was undeveloped. It was fields that were full of weeds, and then beyond it. Peter started going on about how she looked kind of lost and scared, and maybe we should follow her, make sure she was safe, because it was kind of dangerous for her to be out like this at 1 in the morning, all alone like that. I felt uneasy about it, so I just suggested we should go and walk out somewhere else. We went to the park, which is down the road from the school, and kept walking around for another hour or so. Then we saw the girl again, ahead of us. She's walking along this dark path right through the middle of the park. She's walking, and she's got her arms wrapped around herself. And then we heard what sounded like sobbing, but at the same time, she's making this weird yelping noise. Peter, again, told me, we need to follow her and make sure she's okay. And at the same time, I'm starting to feel sick. And in truth, I wanted to turn around, just go back to the house. Then we see where she reaches the edge of the park where the road is. And then we realize that she's figured it out, that we're behind her. She stops, whips her head around suddenly and snarls, just staring at us. And we're there frozen. We could hardly make out her shadow, it's so dark. And at that point, I felt like I was going to throw up. Then we see her just bolt across the road in a few seconds, scramble up a wooden fence, which was much taller than her. It's a fence that's around the house. She perches on top of it for a second and jumps into the dark, arms first. We're just watching this, thinking how insane it is, how quickly she did it. It scared the hell out of Peter because he suddenly didn't care how lost or scared she was, and all he wanted to do was like speed walk back to the house. And that's exactly what we did. When we got back, we couldn't go to sleep. All we did was talk about it, and I could tell he was rattled, probably because he was the one that was insisting on following her just to make sure she was okay. And he probably felt as weird about it as I did. I didn't see her again, not until the following year. I had stopped hanging out so much with Peter, had a new group of friends. And it was just some guys that were on a tennis team and a couple of other girls that would hang out with us. And we were kind of the outdoorsy kind. We went on campouts, hikes, things like that. It was November of the following year, and we decided to go out of town and go into a forested area to build a fire, roast marshmallows, just have a good time, hang out. It was about 15-minute drive out of town, up into the hills. But it's also the middle of nowhere. We stopped at a popular build-a-fire and hangout spot. It's an old homestead that's been abandoned for years. There's a dilapidated barn, a grain silo in the clearing, right near the fire pit. And the cabin, which is where the owner used to live, is a few steps up into the woods. And it's just basically falling apart. All that remains is a pile of rubble and what was used to be the cellar. So nobody brought flashlights, and we stopped in the car and just used our headlights to light up where the fire pit was at. We started tossing wood on it, getting the bonfire started. And then all of a sudden, I was hit with this intense need to go to the bathroom. I mean, I didn't want to drop my pants anywhere near these girls, so I just muttered to my friend that I was going to go into the woods for a minute, and that if I was gone too long, just to send a search party for me. I headed out into the woods and past the cabin, or what was left of it. The headlights of the car were bright enough that I could see it clearly, and also the black hole of the cellar going into the ground, which was pretty creepy. Now, I stared at it for a minute, waiting for something to crawl out. It was really cold, and it got really, really quiet, except for the sound of my friends laughing way off. And then I remembered that I needed to pee, and if the headlights were bright enough for me to see, they would probably see me. So I decided to walk a little bit further past the cabin till it was darker, and I was about to unzip my pants when I heard quiet footsteps crunching nearby. I squinted, and I could faintly see a figure moving a little bit further into the woods. Now, I want you to understand something about me is that I hate to be pranked on. So, I'm kind of a little bit jumpy and I know it's embarrassing. And then I'm seeing this person walking out there and I'm thinking someone is lurking around waiting to play a joke on us. And I wondered if I was the only one that wasn't in on it. Now, I really regret this decision completely looking back at it. But right then and there, I decided to go and walk towards whoever or whatever it was. To be honest, I thought it was going to be one of our friends, and I was going to try to bust them before they could sneak up on me. So I jogged to catch up, trying to be quiet, and soon I was pretty close to the sounds. But they stopped when I was about a couple of feet away. I pulled out my phone to use as a light and held it out in front of me, and she was right there. Crouched on a log, staring at me. Her eyes were insane. They were wide and bloodshot, and there were tears just pouring down her face. I knew immediately she was the same girl that I'd seen the year before. As a matter of fact, she was even wearing the same gray hoodie. I stepped back a little, and my mind was totally blank. I didn't know what to make of the situation. Then she opened her mouth so wide that I could see all of her teeth, and she made the most horrible sound I've ever heard. It was like a dog snarling. And what was the worst is that at the same time it sounded also like a person howling in agony. I have no idea how a person can make that kind of sound. The grief and rage in it was terrifying. The whole image is imprinted in my mind. Her nose wrinkled and her lips peeled back, and her eyes were darting around and crying, and she's making that guttural scream that made me freeze in horror. I honestly ran out of the woods, and I couldn't describe how disturbing it was to see her and to hear her. It was not human. She was not human. I tried to yell to my friends, but it came out like this dry shudder. I could hardly speak. The girl sobbed and clapped her hands over her mouth like she was fighting herself, shaking her head back and forth like, no. She took off through the trees, tearing at the sticks that grabbed at her clothes, and I couldn't have cut off to her even if I wanted to. And I didn't want to. Fight or flight totally neutralized my need to pee, and I booked it back to the fire pit. I wasn't even looking where my feet were, and I almost ate the ground several times. Two of my friends were running into the woods towards me. They'd heard something out there and wanted to make sure I wasn't getting mauled by a wild animal. We made it back to the fire, and I tried to tell everyone what had happened. I was shaking and could hardly speak from the cold and the terror. I felt tears in my eyes while I tried to talk about it. The girls were terrified, and they wanted to leave right away. One of the guys didn't believe me at all, but the others wanted to go on a witch hunt and find the girl out there in the woods. I said I didn't want any part of it, and I walked to the car and sat in it with the door shut. They milled around the fire for a little while, trying to have some fun, but in truth, the night was pretty much gone after that, and eventually they doused the fire and came to the car, and we left. As we drove away, I thought about that girl alone in the woods. She was suffering somewhere out there in the dark, but I knew somehow that there was nothing I could do to help her. I don't believe in the supernatural, but it was like seeing someone turning into a werewolf and being totally unable to do anything for them, just knowing you needed to get out of there. I think the worst part came after the shock wore off, when I realized that I knew who she was. I'd seen her before at my school. I think she was even my age and graduated maybe a year earlier. Afterwards, I tried to reason myself out of the terror that I had felt. I thought, could it have been a mask? But I don't think so. I don't know what lies underneath that or what monster lives inside her. I wish I had the courage to ask. At the same time, I don't want to bring it up. I don't want the night to have been real because there was something terrible and wrong happening there. I don't know why, but I feel guilty for having seen it. I hope she's free from whatever caused her to be like that. I hope someday I meet her again and she's normal and happy, and that image will replace all that has haunted me after I saw her in the woods. Because honestly, when I'm lying in bed at night, sometimes my mind just replays those cries over and over in my head. And if she's not human, I really don't ever want to cross paths with her again. Biking in the dark. I'm a grad student. I live in California. I take my bike to and from the campus. I spend a lot of late nights working there, and as a result, I'm used to biking home in the dark. Where I live at is pretty safe, so I don't worry about the ride home in the dark, even if it's as late as midnight. I pass a couple of people, and most of the time, I'm just listening to music. Now, the first time I noticed these sounds was on the way back home. It was earlier this fall. I usually hear all sorts of critters as, you know, I'm biking through the path. But at night it's all rabbits and maybe an occasional house cat. And they run away from the speeding humans on the path. But when I heard this noise, I knew it wasn't a rabbit or a cat. I couldn't tell exactly how big it was, but I became aware of a periodic noise coming from the underbrush to my left. I looked over, but I couldn't see anything without the light. But then the sound continued very rhythmically. It was like a crunch of brush and twigs every 5 seconds. And then I thought, okay, this has got to be something with a wheel, and that's why the sound is so regular. It sounds so regular because it's echoing back at me. I take one look at the wheels, and half a second before I realize how stupid my idea is. The wheels are rotating far too quickly to cause the noise. So I figure out, no, it's not the wheels of my bike. But before I figure this out, I reach a fork in the path. One turns away from the brush, and then the sound stops. I guess that proves it wasn't from the wheel. Now the next day, I'm biking along onto campus, and whatever the noise was, I don't hear it again. But I still knew it wasn't my wheels. Now, it was early enough in that fall that the workload wasn't really that heavy. Thanks in part, though, because I was procrastinating, I didn't stay until after dark for another couple of weeks. It was Monday night, it was warm outside, and I started thinking about the noise I had heard the last time when I had entered that same stretch of the path. Then all of a sudden, I realized what that noise must have been. It wasn't the wheel. It was my foot hitting the edge of the pedal lever thing. I experimented with one foot, moving it to the inner edge of the pedal until my shoe clipped the side every rotation. There, I sighed in relief. I had found the source of the noise, just as I knew I would. I was really pleased with myself, right up to the point when I moved my shoe back and the noise kept on going. It was so well synced with the one I'd been making, I had to look down and check to make sure I wasn't still making it. As I bent down, the noise changed and turned into a skittering like claws on pavement ahead of me. My head shot up, just in time to see grass waving and nothing else. I pulled out my earphones and looked about, but it was still too dark to see anything except what my little bike light illuminated in front of me, which wasn't much. I started to get worried at this point, and I was thinking of taking a different route home, going straight where the last time I'd turned left. Now, as I go straight, I hear the noise pause, skipping a crunch, and then fall distinctly behind me. By this time, I was pretty freaked out, enough that I biked past my house, looped around using the roads instead of the paths, and just returned home, wanting to make sure that I wasn't being followed. Now, I didn't have any reason to stay late until the following Monday, and that's when I realized it was going to be dark long before I left, so I decided to take the roads instead of the paths. I usually take the paths because the scenery is nicer and it's a lot less stressful not to have cars buzzing by, but I think in this case, it was warranted. I took a month or so that I didn't bike the paths at night, and by the end of it, I had thoroughly convinced myself that it must have been a coyote or some other rare California creature. Hell, I take comfort in the fact that the worst I'd have to deal with was a bite and some rabies shots. Since a month had gone by, I decided to start using the paths again. By this point in the season, it was getting dark really early, and I was biking home by twilight most days, and my workload was getting bigger because, like I said before, I was a procrastinator, and I had been putting off a lot until now. Anyway, it worked out that I was biking home in the dark a few times a week, and I didn't hear anything out of the ordinary. It's over, right? Wrong, of course. I'm biking home when my aging MP3 player freezes up. I reset it and it slowly restarts. And then I hear the noise again. It's a lot fainter than it was before, but it's definitely there and it's definitely following me. Now I decide I need to bike as fast as I can, but there's no change in how far away the thing is. It's keeping up with me. I tried swerving a bit so my light shines to the side, but the light's attached to my bike, and the problem with having a light attached to your bike is you move in the direction the light points. I didn't want to bike into the bushes, and I sure didn't want to bike towards the noise. I can't see. Well, as you can tell, I made it through that ride alive. But now I had gone from being rattled to being truly scared. And I'm not an idiot, so I decide that I cannot use that path again. But since I'm an idiot, it takes me 2 weeks to realize that I could have detached my bike light and pointed it where I wanted. Now, I replaced the battery so the light was rather bright, but again, not thinking too straight, I decided to use the bike paths again, and this time shine some light on whatever it was that was following me. That night, I was back on the paths, and I realized when I'm there that this was a terrible idea. And it was only more terrible when I was there and I realized that to turn around and shine the light, I would have to really slow down a lot. I removed my headphones that kept going. Sure enough, the noise was there. It was moving in a strange way and it took me a second to realize. I put one earphone back in just to verify. This thing was moving along with the music. I don't mean dancing, I mean the sound of pause or whatever it was hitting the ground at the exact same time as the beats in my headphones. It's far away and faint enough that I wouldn't even notice if I hadn't been listening for it. Wait, scratch that. It's not far away. It's near, but very quiet. How has this thing gotten so quiet? I grab my bike light and shine it towards the thing. It must have seen me moving the light because all I see are a few shaking branches about 30 feet away. I pointed the light away and I hear the thing moving towards me again. Now I point the light back as quickly as I can and, well, I get some impressions, but they were very brief. I'm just not really sure about it. Suddenly, the thing's pace changes. I nearly crashed the bike, swerving to the opposite side of the path, but I recognize the pace again. The songs changed, and this thing changed its pace with a song. I started skipping songs, and it doesn't miss a beat. Whatever this thing is, it's keeping up far better than it should. Now, I know two things. One, it's got really fantastic hearing. Or two, it's smart enough to realize of all the sounds in the night, it should hide its movement in the music I was listening to. I was approaching my turn and there's no way I'm letting it follow me, so I shine the light toward it again and then keep the light where it would have to pass to follow me on the turn. There are closed fences on each side, so it has either to go through the light or give up the chase. I guess it must really not like light because I made it home alive. The next day, in the lovely light of the morning, I stopped my bike along where I had heard it the night before. I'm sure I should be safe, but that doesn't stop me from feeling like I was being watched the whole time. I looked off the side of the path and I see a semi-worn path through the grass. It doesn't look very old and it makes me think about how much quieter this thing has gotten. Had it worn a path following me, following others? Had this path been there before? I knew one thing, I was done with this route. It was nothing but the road for me now, and if I had to get hit by a car, I would thank the driver. Now, taking the road turned out to be an excellent plan in that I didn't get killed by a mysterious forest creature, but I kept finding myself almost taking the path out of sheer habit. Well, the last week of classes was there and I got swamped with projects and somehow I didn't get done until the last minute. I was falling asleep on my feet and one night before I realized it, I was back on the path. I immediately shut my music off and listened as closely as I could. I didn't hear the thing. Maybe my trick with the light the last time had led it to look for easier prey. I got through its usual stretch just fine. I made my last turn where I had lost it the last time and then I knew. I knew without knowing how I knew it was waiting for me. The turn was dark and it was waiting for me. It knew where I had lost it last time, went ahead, and it was waiting for me. I slowed down. I didn't know what to do. I sure couldn't turn back. But if I biked past it, I'd have my back towards it anyway as soon as I'd gone by. I was way too sleep-fogged for life or death decisions. I heard something behind me and saw a light headed toward me. It was another biker going my way. I slowed even more, letting them pass, and then followed practically on their ass. I probably scared them senseless, but I really was more concerned with living at that point. Then I passed by a dark stretch of trees. I felt its eyes on me. I knew it was there and it had no place to run. I picked up my light, unsure if I really wanted to look. Then I did. Again, I was very sleep deprived that night, so I'm not sure I can trust my eyes. But if I saw anything, I saw a shadow. It was either the shadow of an enormous beast waiting in the trees or something man-sized which had moved closer. The thing is, I didn't see anything that wasn't a shadow, so I must have been hallucinating to see a shadow but not the thing that cast it, right? I mean, it's impossible to absorb the light but not be seen, right? I take comfort in that. I must have been seeing, I don't know, a hallucination? Not to mention the way the shadow raced across the trees as I biked by, as if the thing casting it weren't in the trees but only a dozen feet away. And it looked like the biker ahead of me flinched as if seeing the same thing. No, I was thinking, you're exhausted. You can't trust your senses. I was soaked in sweat by the time I got home, but I did get home. I slept in and didn't leave my bed until my final project was done. I had to visit campus a couple more times for exams, but it was all during the daylight. Now it's over, and I'm sure not ever going on that trail again. Only thing I'm worried about now, it's that it's left its usual stretch to find that place in the trees. How far is it willing to go? I've still got to make it through winter classes and that seasonal dark time. I guess I shouldn't be too worried, though. After all, You really can't trust your senses so late at night, right? The Creeper. I've always lived in a little town on Rhode Island, and I've had a best friend. Her name is Anna. We've been good friends for about 10 years. Now, I don't need to tell you something. It's about where Anna lives. She lives on a small back road where you would have to step on the road and walk a little while to see her closest neighbor. All the while, this area is thickly wooded on either side of the road. Right near her house, she has a swamp, and during the summer, all you hear is the peeper toads just never shut up. Well, it started out just like any other time. Anna and I are hanging out. Her parents aren't home often, so like the lazy teenagers we were, we ordered our usual delivery order to her house, which was a medium-sized pizza, fries, and mozzarella sticks. As we're eating, we're watching a movie, and by the time it was done, it was already 10 at night. We were trying to decide what was the next movie we were going to watch when all of a sudden we heard it. It was Anna's creepy neighbor that was leaf-blowing his lawn. Now, you have to understand why we call him the Creeper. First of all, neither of us had ever seen him come out during the day, but we knew about him because Anna's mother had told us who he was. Every day at 4 p.m. exactly, no more, no less, all the shades were closed in his house, but we never see anyone shut them. Also, his lawn is perfect. By perfect, I mean like there isn't even a single leaf. But how is that possible? We live in the woods with trees everywhere. Lastly, he always does his yard work at night. Anna has never seen him out in the daytime during the 16 years that she's lived at her house. So as bored teenagers, our curiosity got the better of us, and we decided that since there were two of us, we would be safe, right? Boy, were we wrong. That night, it was a full moon, so we decided that the best plan of action was to sneak through her woods and loop around. So if he were to stop leaf blowing, any noise we made would come from the other direction, away from her house, so that he would think we were deers or something. That was mistake number two. Once we were set, lying flat on our stomachs, we stayed hidden in the woods to watch as the full moon illuminated the whole road. We then turned our heads toward the direction of the leaf blower, and there he was. He appeared to be in his late 50s, early 60s, and was pretty tall for his age. He was wearing round-framed glasses and had a white mustache that curled at the end. He was dressed in all white, and I mean everything. All his clothing was white. He had a white fishing hat on, a white button-up short-sleeved shirt, white shoes, and white dress pants. It was strange because why would you need to wear dress pants during summer just to leaf blow your lawn? Also, he seemed to feel the need to leaf blow the leaves across the road, not just to where his lawn ended. As we were watching him in silence, he just stopped what he was doing. He just turned off the leaf blower and just listened. Then he started scanning and locked his vision right about where we were laying. Neither I nor Anna had even said a word since we arrived, so there was no possible way he could have known we were there. Then just as suddenly as he had stopped, he went back to just leaf blowing his lawn like nothing happened. I felt myself exhale as I realized I hadn't even taken a breath during the whole time he looked in our direction. We decided that as soon as he was done and went back inside, we were going to bolt to the other side of the road, as we would make too much noise if we walked through the woods while the leaf blower was off. So we kept watching, and eventually he went back inside through his garage, not his front door, and as soon as it shut, we bolted for it. Now we were safe, and we would just walk right to our house and just laugh it off when we got inside, right? We were wrong for the second time that night. Once we got out of view of his house and we started walking in silence, we were just too creeped out to talk, when all of a sudden I heard this buzzing noise, and since it was summer, I just thought it was a mosquito flying next to my ear. But then it started to change tone slightly, just enough for me to notice. Now it sounded like a mosquito mixed with the hum the dryer makes when you turn it on. Then, this is the first time we talk since bolting from the Creeper. Anna said, "Brandy, do you hear like a humming noise?" "Yeah, I do. Wait, it just stopped," I said. "It feels like something is wrong, doesn't it?" "I know, but I can't put my finger on it." "Anna?" "Yeah?" "The peep toads. I don't hear them. Wait, the humming is back." After about 10 seconds, the humming then got louder, and all of a sudden, the most ungodly noise I ever heard pierced through the night no more than 10 feet away from us. I couldn't even copy it if I tried. It was unlike anything on this earth could make. If hell had a sound, this was it. Then the footsteps started. Like I said before, Anna and I know everything in those woods. We've heard bobcats, fisher cats, mountain lions, deers, birds, and we've even had bear reports in the area. We had never heard or encountered anything like this before. We could tell from the footstep this thing had an easy 200 pounds on it. Since we were familiar with the critters that normally were in the woods, we realized that this thing was stalking us. It was like a cat or a dog does it, slowly, like it was toying with us, waiting to pounce. Surprisingly, me and Anna were still walking this whole time thinking, I think mostly that was due to the fact that we were petrified with fear and our need to get out of there overrode the feelings, screaming inside telling us to bolt for it because we knew that's exactly what it wanted. Then I made the biggest mistake of my life. Anna was closest to the things, so I took a risk. I decided that since I was furthest away and Anna's sturdy frame could block mine, I looked at it. It was terrifying. I saw these huge glowing red eyes. They had no pupils, just glowing red. They were smaller than a football, but bigger than a softball. Since it was a full moon, I could see the outline. The woods were too dense to make out details, but it was on four legs, and from ground to shoulder, it was an easy 7 feet, as we could hear it breaking down the smaller trees in the woods. It had fangs bared. It must have had grayish fur, because as it was stalking us, I would lose sight of its body and then it would come back again, but I would never lose sight of those glowing red eyes. I was entranced looking at it. Brandy, Anna hissed, barely audible at me, snapping me back to reality. We're a few steps from my driveway. As soon as we hit the end, we bolt for it. Both of us knew that if it chose to come after us, we were dead. We both knew it, and as cliche as it sounds, if we were going to die, we were going to die trying to live. And that's exactly what we did. We bolted into our house, and the whole way down, we heard the ungodly, hellish sound again. For some reason, it never left the woods on the other side of the road, even though you would think it would, if it wanted to eat us. After we got inside, neither of us slept. Once dawn came, we heard more hellish sound. Then we saw the sun. We then heard the peep toads again and knew it was gone. We never went back out at night in the woods again. I have a huge phobia and cannot even drive in the woods at night by myself without getting anxious. So word of warning, don't go watching creepers in the woods at night. You never know who or what could be stalking you in the dark.